we started talking and I said, you know, you think about the Infinity Stones and soul, time, space, mind, reality, power, like, you know, that's all in the Bible. This is how culture views reality, but God is the ultimate reality.
Welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Hampton, and I'm happy you joined us today. Our guest today is Major Amy Jo Ferguson. Major Amy Jo and her husband Paul are the Salvation Army officers at Grand Forks, North Dakota, and you're in for a treat today. Amy Jo is a delight to talk to, and today we're going to talk about being passionate about the Bible, making church exciting. So without any further ado, here's part one of my conversation with Major Amy Jo Ferguson. Welcome to our podcast, Major Amy Jo.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here too. I'm really excited to talk to you because we've already gone through our list of topics that we wanted to address, and some of them I cannot wait for. So let's get into it. So just tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, where you're from, your current appointment, all of us, all those things.
So I am Amy Jo Ferguson. I currently live in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I just moved here, so I have to keep reminding myself where I currently live. And my current appointment is the Corps officer in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Brought with us our 16-year-old daughter, and we left behind in Missouri our 21-year-old son and our two grandchildren, Jacob and Roland. Wow. They're young enough that they're not on social media, so I can use their names.
Great.
I am married to my husband, Paul, for 26 years now.
Awesome.
And still happily married to him.
Which that's a good point.
that is something we're very proud of in our relationship, is that we still like each other after 26 years.
That's great. Okay, so I don't know if you remember this, but I remember meeting you for the very first time, I think when we were teenagers, because I have a slight recollection of doing a timbrel thing with you at Omaha Citadel Corps, like back in the 90s, I think. I mean, now we're really dating ourselves.
That would be totally true, yes.
Oh my gosh. I do have history with Major Amy Jo. I know I do. We never really got to know each other. I think we didn't really run in the same circles. And certainly, you know, like I haven't really had an opportunity to sit down with you and talk to you. So just tell our listeners just your little backstory, where you grew up, what your history is.
I am the timbrel queen.
Yes.
So timbrels are a dying art in the Salvation Army, but it is my mission to bring them back. I love timbrels.
Awesome.
And I grew up, we had a big timber brigade. I grew up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, in the Corps there. And we had a big timber brigade in the Sioux Falls, South Dakota Corps. And then when I got old enough, I became a Western Divisional Timberlist. And
yes.
I remember in my teenage mind, I wowed them at Congress.
Yes, awesome. Yes.
It was my claim to fame was Congress playing timberlist. And playing timbrels for General Eva Burroughs at Omaha Citadel.
Yeah, and I think that's where it was. I think actually I was a part of that.
Oh, yeah. I grew up, like I said, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I began attending the Corps there when I was like 9 years old. And then I went off to college in Des Moines, Iowa, and I was a soldier at Des Moines Citadel as a college student and met my husband there. And then we went off to training college and the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow. So when you say you started attending when you were younger, did your family come along with you? Was that just you? Were you?
Yeah, I came to the Salvation Army actually through Christmas ministries.
Really?
My mom was very sick. I was about 9 years old and she was in and out of the hospital, lost her job. But back in those days, they didn't have FMLA. So if you missed a lot of work, you just lost your job.
Yeah.
And so mom got out of the hospital and mom and dad sat me down and they said, honey, Christmas isn't going to happen this year. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough money, but mom is okay. She's going to survive. She's out of the hospital. We have a roof over our head, so we'll be thankful. And she was telling this story to a friend of hers, and her friend went, Elle, they got toys and food and stuff down at the Salvation Army. You just need to go and ask.
Yeah.
And my mom went down to the Salvation Army and told them her story. And our family got adopted by a Lutheran church that year. I thank the Lutherans for bringing me to the Salvation Army.
Yes, that's amazing.
I remember sitting, we had an itty bitty house, and sitting in the living room, and someone knocked on the front door, and our house was literally so tiny that we couldn't fit a sofa in the living room and have the front door open. So someone knocked on the front door, and it's December 20th or whatever. And we're like rearranging the living room, trying to let them in the front door.
Yes.
And they came in, and Lutheran men, I'm sorry, Salvationist men, Lutheran men smell the best.
Oh.
And they were just drenched in whatever Lutheran cologne they wear. And yes. They came in and they brought us a Christmas tree because my mom hadn't even bothered to put up a Christmas tree that year. She said, Christmas isn't happening. Why would I put up a tree?
Right.
And they brought us a tree and they brought us food and they brought us gifts. And my mom remembers that on the outside of the building, they had a billboard that said church services. And after that night, she said, well, you're going down, not them, but you are going down to church.
Yes.
Sunday morning at the Salvation Army. And so the next Sunday morning, my mom, we only live three blocks from the Army. And so my mom dressed me up with all of my winter gear and shoved me out the door. And I didn't know what was happening. So when they dismissed the kids from chapel to go to junior soldiers at that point, I just went home. I was like, oh, they dismissed me from church.
It's time to go.
Just walk home.
That's amazing. That's good.
And then that summer, Sunday school teachers, they decided to visit all the parents of the kids who came without moms and dads. And they visited my mom. And my mom was convinced they were visiting because I was so bad. She was like, they're going to throw you out of church if I don't come.
Oh, my gosh.
My mom started coming to church, and then my dad followed after, and we went as a whole family from that point on.
I love that. I love hearing those stories. That's amazing. Well, I mean, that would make sense. Oh, we're done. I'll just go home.
Exactly. And the first week my mom came, they were like, okay, we're going to dismiss the kids. And she was like, okay, honey, you go. And I was like,
where do I go?
Like, do I walk home without you, Mom?
I know. And now every time now I'm going to hear that in church and I'm going to be like, don't go home. Like, kids, you can go, just don't go home. That's amazing.
And obviously before the days of safe from harm, since this 9-year-old kid just walked out the front door and walked home.
Isn't that crazy? I am so a hover mom about text me when you get home from school and make sure that you have this, make sure you have that. And my mom was just like, have a good day. I'll see you at 5 o'clock, you know? Okay. Yeah. It's crazy. Our times have changed. So how long have you been in full-time service with the Salvation Army?
I hate to admit that my husband and I have been officers for 23 years.
Wow.
And I hate to admit that because I still feel like I'm still excited about ministry and I still love what I do. And so it's like, you know, I feel like, 23 years, I should be, and I should at least know what I'm doing, but I still feel like everything is new and exciting. And so,
yeah. Well, tell us about your calling. When did you first know that that's what you were called to do?
I remember as a little girl going to the Salvation Army, 9, 10 years old, and the Corps officer's wife, looking, because that's what they were called in those days, the missus, looking at me and saying, you're going to be an officer. And before I even knew what an officer was going to be, and going to camp, and people would look at me and say, you've been called to be an officer.
Oh my word.
So my calling really came through other people looking at me and saying, we see leadership in you. We see this calling in your life. My mom used to tell the story of when she and my biological father first got divorced. She was going to a Baptist church. And at about 2 years old, I got away from her and I ran up to the front of the chapel and decided to try to preach.
Oh my gosh.
I don't obviously remember, but it could be an apocryphal story.
That's awesome.
My mom has always said, I knew you were going to be a preacher, even as a little girl. So I always had that calling kind of in my life of wanting, I love the church and I loved God's word and I loved being in the church. The fight for me was how that calling would fit into my life and how it, you know, was it going to be as an officer? Was it going to be, you know, and, yeah. and how was that going to work? And so that's where I kind of had to wrestle with God and say, okay, God, if you want me as an educated officer. So I need to go and get my degree before training college. Mm-hmm. God, how does being married fit into this? How does our relationship together look like as a couple doing ministry together? And so those were really the wrestlings I had. But from the time, the earliest time I can remember, I was going to be a pastor and an officer and a preacher. That was just what God had laid on me.
Just planted that little nugget right there and prepared you. I love that. I love people. Just a reminder that especially we as adults, we need to speak those kinds of messages and truths into our kids the minute we see it. Hey, you know, I see that in you, and just start planting those thoughts and those seeds of encouragement and maybe potentially one day officership or, you know, missionary or I don't know, whatever, fill in the blank. Youth pastor. Yeah, that's great. So in our early discussion about having you on the podcast, we were talking about your passion for the Bible. So what does that look like for you? What does passion for God's word look like for you? And what is the influence that you've had on others as a result of having that passion?
I'm a Bible nerd. That's the first time I took like one of those spiritual gift tests, it came out as like my number one spiritual gift was knowledge.
Really?
And I felt like God had like shortchanged me. I was like,
but wait,
prophet, come on, healer.
Right.
Knowledge.
Right. You know? Right. Well, big deal. I know stuff.
The gift of Bible trivia.
Yeah. Right. So, oh, I love Bible trivia.
Yeah. Bible trivia is my favorite game.
Yes.
But I don't want to admit it in public.
I know, right? Seriously. I'll take that back. We'll cut that out. Cut that out.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But I remember as a little girl, my mom and dad bought me it's the comic book Bible, you know, these illustrated pictures. And I read that until the binding fell apart on it. I just adored it. And I always loved like looking into God's word and reading God's word. And as I got older and I grew intellectually, you know, and I found out like, oh, Greek and Hebrew. And I'm one of those people that I get excited when I can look at a Greek clause. I go, ooh, a hottie clause. I don't even know if that's like the way that it's supposed to be pronounced, but I love looking into that. And the more I look, the more I find God there. Scripture never disappoints you. You never go, oh, I wonder what's there, and look into it and go, oh, nothing. Like it's always, no matter how deep you dig, you always find Christ. And that's one of the things I absolutely adore about scripture. And it gets me excited about studying God's word and reading God's word and getting deeper into God's word. And I like to, in my ministry, I love to get people into that same thing of reading God's word and studying God's word and just going deeper and deeper and deeper into what it has there.
I love that. I share that same feeling and that same passion. I love that. I love knowing God's word and hiding it in our hearts. Yeah. So I share that. You also said to me that you love to make church exciting. So seeing you, I'm like imagining you as a little kid walking into church and not knowing what's going on, but now you are leading the church. So tell us how you do that for your congregation.
I love planning services. Mm-hmm. That's such a nerdy thing to say. Like I said, I'm a Bible nerd. I love planning services and planning series and just kind of trying to lead people through the story. I love when we're able to engage people's senses in worship. Too often, you know, it's like, come in, sit down, and we'll talk at you. And for worship, I love, we just did a series a few months ago now on the five senses. And so we played Bean Boozle one day during worship. And then we talked about, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah. And we did a scent game where we had people try to smell and guess what the scents were, and nice. And talk about, you know, how in worship in the Old Testament, you see where scent was a very big part of what worship was, the fire from the altar burning and the incense and all of that. And so I love to bring our senses into worship and engage people in their senses. I love to engage culture in worship. I can't remember who said it, but someone once said, preachers should preach with a newspaper in one hand and a Bible in the other.
Oh, I like that.
And I like to do that. I like to say, okay, what's going on in our world? How does God's word speak to that? And how do we respond to that? And that, so those are some of the things I love to do in worship. I think it's a sin to make worship boring and to make God's word boring.
Yes. So how do we, that's great. I feel like too, you have to really be intentional about knowing your people too, as well. Like what's going to appeal to them. And that's a delicate dance that you have to play, because you've got multi-generations, multi-diverse, you know, backgrounds and cultures and things all coming in as one. And you kind of have to find that middle ground or that even, but staying relevant too, to what potentially could be on my people's heart when they walk in the door, this shooting that just happened, just always keeping relevant. And what does God say about that? I love that. So, and then you tell me about this Avengers sermon series. I cannot wait to hear about this.
My daughter is a huge Marvel theorist.
Okay.
So in the Ferguson household, if you go around the dinner table, you will hear like, for instance, she cannot believe Doctor Strange in the new Spider-Man trailer is doing what Doctor Strange is doing. Yeah. And she's like, it can't be Doctor Strange. It has to be, I can't remember the name of the character.
But the lady, the girl, right?
Yes.
My son said the same thing. Yes.
and she will talk for hours about this stuff. And so we went to Endgame and we're watching it, and she's telling me like all the theories and how they all came together. And because I'm the parent of a teenager, I just love to hear her talk.
Yeah.
And talk to me. It's like, oh, good. She's talking to me.
Yes. And
as she's talking to me, I'm like, you know, that's all in the Bible.
Right.
And she was like, what? And I was like, yeah, that's all there.
Wow.
And we started talking, and I said, you know, you think about the Infinity Stones and soul, time, space, mind, reality, power, like they're all there.
Yeah.
And the difference is when Thanos controls those stones, it's devoid of love. It's devoid of compassion. It's devoid of grace. And when God controls those things, it's full of love. It's full of his compassion. It's full of his grace. And so what we ended up doing is we did a series, and we used those Infinity Stones as our jumping off point. And we downloaded movie clips from the movies how those different stones were.
Yeah.
And then we talked about, so this is how culture looks at time. Well, this is how God controls and looks at time, and for every time there's a purpose and a season under heaven, and this is how culture views reality, but God is the ultimate reality. And so we went through those, and we had a great time. Actually, you talk about the different ages in worship.
Yeah.
When we started this, like the older people in the congregation were looking at me like, she's gone off the deep end. We thought she went off the deep end before, but she's really,
That's awesome.
She's like Avengers in the Bible. And by the end, they were like, wow. And made little ribbons, and we took the pony beads with the different colors of the Infinity Stones. We made keychains for everyone. And the amazing thing is, as I was preparing to farewell from that last appointment, I still saw people with those keychains.
You did.
And I was like, yay.
Something stuck. That's great. Yeah. That is so cool. Talk about keeping up with being relevant. Like, that is so cool. Your church definitely cannot be boring. There is no way. There's just no way. That is so cool. Have you written that down? Like, do you have it, like, compiled?
Yeah.
Okay. You got to hold on to that, because does anybody else know about this?
I do, you know, of course, in the age of social media, I have, you know, a group of friends and officer friends. And so I'll write something. I'll be like, psst,
yes.
You want a new sermon series?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it is being shared, because that is golden. And I feel like even taking something like that and just planting those little seeds of, hey, this is kind of like are you getting anything from this? Are you seeing how this is sort of like Jesus or sort of like a Bible story? That's cool.
Western mythology is all the story of Jesus told over and over and over again. That's the template for so many of our Western cultural artifacts. Yeah. Harry Potter.
Right.
Avengers, like, and people, because so many people haven't grown up with the Bible, haven't grown up in the church, haven't grown up with scripture. We have a great opportunity, I think, in the church to say, hey, that story you love,
yeah,
let me tell you the original.
Yes.
Because there's an original of a man who came and lived and taught us and died for us and rose again. And that's the real story. And yeah, and like I said, it's repeated over and over and over in Western mythology.
And it goes back to that portion in Romans that God put that as a part of us to know that there is a God and that there was an original story. I feel like people are just like, hey, I just came up with this idea. Did you? I don't know, you know? So anyway, yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. Okay, that's the end of part one. You want to stay tuned for part two. And I'm just going to put this little teaser right here. It's going to get even more interesting, because we're going to talk about poop and the Bible. I'm just going to leave that there. You'll want to tune in for part two. That'll be dropped in the next couple weeks. I do want to take a minute to promote a few things that are going on with our Central Territory Women's Ministries. If you follow us on social media, Instagram and Facebook, and if you subscribe to our website, you will already know this. We are gearing up for our next Territorial Women's Ministries Conference called Arise and Shine, A New Day. And we are so excited. It's happening January 28th and 29th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. And this year only, hopefully, it will be virtual. And you can register right now by going to our website, www.uscwomensministries.com. Again, that's uscwomensministries.com. And right on our homepage, you'll find the link for the Arise and Shine A New Day registration website. We are looking forward to a great weekend. So mark your calendars, January 28th through 29th, 2022, Arise and Shine A New Day virtual women's ministries conference. We have a lot of things on our website that you'll find interesting to check out, including our first Monday prayer time, which happens the first Monday of every month at 9:00 Central Time. We go live on Facebook and have a special time of prayer together. So you'll want to mark your calendars, put that as a reminder, join us for first Monday prayer time. Friends, I hope you've been challenged by what we discussed today with Major Amy Jo. And you'll definitely not want to miss part two. So that's all for today. I hope that this podcast has left you feeling prepared and equipped for tomorrow, and I'll see you soon. God bless you.